What's the most important commandment? It seems like such a straightforward question, especially if you know about these things. It's got to be the first one, right? Hi, and welcome to St. Ninian's Church in Stonehouse. My name's Stuart, and I get to be the minister here. You can find out all about who we are and what we do on our website at st-ninians-stonehouse.org.uk. And while you're here, we'd love to know where you're from and what you're up to today, so please say hi in the comments and tell us who you are and where you're from. Today I'm joined by Stevie in leading our worship, and she's going to read for us from Matthew's Gospel and lead us in prayer later on. So let's listen now for the Word of God.
Matthew 22, 34 to 46. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like this. Love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on what these two commandments. Whose son is the Christ? While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? The son of David, they replied. He says to them, how is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? For he says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If then David calls him Lord, how can he be his son? No one could say a word in reply, and from that day on, no one dared to ask him any more questions.
The questions have been coming thick and fast from all the different religious and political groups to Jesus for a week now. They've all come to see him in the temple to try to trip Jesus up, to find him out, to bring him down. He's dealt with them all, sent them all packing. Finally, it comes down to this. The scene is set, the crowds are quiet, waiting in anticipation. The Pharisees have one last question. One of them, who's an expert in the law, is the one who'll ask. I wonder what it'll be this time. I wonder what trap they will try to set. I wonder what clever wordplay they will employ. Here it comes. You can hear the hush. Which is the greatest commandment in the law? That's it. Really? An expert in the law? And that's what he comes up with. Which is the greatest commandment in the law? What an absolutely rubbish question. Everyone knows the answer to that. It's the first one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So why does he ask that? There's no trap here, is there? Like every other question they've asked, this one is loaded. It seems so straightforward. A question which every child knows the answer to. They stopped arguing about this centuries ago, so why ask? Why put this seemingly innocuous question to Jesus? I wonder, do you ever watch Prime Minister's Questions? The opposition parties ask hard questions, and the government side often asks ones that start with, would you agree with me that? These are questions that lead the Prime Minister into reinforcing a political point or supporting a policy or saying well done to someone. The question that the lawyer asked Jesus is one of those kinds of questions. Would you agree with me that? But if the question has one right answer, then why ask? All week Jesus has been occupying the temple. He's healed the sick, he's cured the lame, he cleared out the market stalls and the moneylenders. He's been engaged in this strange game of winner stays on debating with anyone with an axe to grind, and he's still here. And his answers have got more and more pointed. Parables about wicked tenants and wedding feasts, that both end up with people who were supposed to be good tenants or invited guests being thrown out or killed. And they know that he's talking about them. And if he's talking about them as wicked tenants or guests that refuse to be invited, and then the other parts of the parables must be about him. The stories all have a son in them. And does he mean it's him? Is he saying that he's God's son? Is he saying he's God? And if he is, that's blasphemy. So instead of asking all these trick questions, maybe they should have started with the most important one. Which is the greatest commandment gets right to the heart of Jesus' identity. If he's saying that he's God's son, then maybe he'll trip over the answer to this simple question. I mean, if he thinks he's God, then who knows what he might say? But Jesus gives the right answer. He knows who he is. He knows his relationship with God, his Father. And love your neighbour as yourself. Sorry, what? And I only asked for one singular. Pick the best one, the most important one. That was the question. Nobody asked for a list. Love your neighbour as yourself. Wait, where did that come from? That's not on the list. It comes from Leviticus 19. Obviously, we all know that because we've read Leviticus loads of times. But on the off chance that you haven't, then take a moment, maybe even press pause, and go and read chapter 19. Leviticus is a law book. It contains what's known as the Holiness Code. It's a set of rules that lay out how the people of God should live. These are the rules that the Pharisees say that they are so keen on keeping and enforcing. And Jesus picks something from the centre of this chapter. It's basically a commentary on the giving of the Ten Commandments and all that flows from that. Moses had gone up in the mountain to speak with God and came back with a set of laws, 10 of them. Jesus started his public ministry by doing something similar. He went up a hill and he delivered what's become known as the Sermon on the Mount, which is a sermon all about the Ten Commandments. And it starts with the Beatitudes, this strange list of the least likely people who Jesus says are blessed. Here, almost at the end of his ministry, just days before he will be crucified, Jesus is still talking about the same thing. Leviticus 19 gives instructions about temple practices like eating sacrificial food, but it goes on to talk about leaving crops at the edge of the fields for the poor and for refugees. It talks about honesty. It says you shall not render an unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. With justice you shall judge your neighbour. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people. You shall not profit by the blood of your neighbour. It talks about morality and power, about environmental stewardship, about truthfulness and accountability. And there, in the middle of all of that, at verse 18, is this phrase that is so easy to skip past. Love your neighbour as you love yourself. Love your neighbour as yourself is the second half of a sentence. A sentence that starts with, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people. This isn't some random quote from the law. Jesus is calling out the Pharisees. They've absolutely got a grudge and they want vengeance against Jesus. Jesus knows exactly who he is and he knows exactly who they are. His choice of a second commandment, this ancient instruction at the heart of the Holiness Code, the laws that the Pharisees are so keen to uphold in every minute detail, it's the final undoing of the Pharisees. The law is the standard they judge everyone else by, but it's the very standard they themselves fail. Jesus sums it up in three parts. Love God, love your neighbour, love yourself. Let's be honest, that's hard. All of it's hard. We struggle to love God. We're pretty poor at loving our neighbour and even worse at loving ourselves. Some of that struggle is about not knowing how. There's a nonsense that goes around that love is some kind of mysterious thing that you have no control over and that it just magically happens. I'm not sure that's at all true. I think we decide to love. Sure, in a romantic sense, we're attracted to people, but that's not the same thing. Besides, that kind of love isn't on the list that Jesus gives. We learn how to love, we see it, and we copy it, we experience it, and we try to emulate it. We decide to try it, so we practice it, and the more we practice love, the better we get at it. The Pharisees haven't practiced love. They've practiced greed and power and suspicion. And so it should be no surprise that they become experts in those things. And all because they're afraid. It's fear that undermines love. Fear of being rejected, the fear of being alone, the fear of not being enough. That fear can lead to all kinds of behaviours. And in the Pharisees, it's led to them grasping onto power, because to let go, to follow where God is leading without knowing what that will look like or where it will lead, that's just too scary. We all crave certainty, especially in very uncertain times. It's just another item to the lid. We all crave certainty, especially in these very uncertain times. It's just another item to add to the list of things that make us fearful. And yet, as Yoda once said, fear is the path to the dark side. Because fear leads to anger, and anger leads to hate, and hate leads to suffering. So perhaps it's time for each of us to do a spot check. How am I doing at loving God this week? Have I spent time in God's company? Have I tried to find out more about God and what God wants for me? How am I doing at loving my neighbour this week? Have I checked on the people around me, not just my friends? What have I done this week to make someone's life better? And what about me? How am I doing at loving myself this week? What things have I done to look after myself? These are like three legs of a stool. Ourselves, others, and God. If one of those legs is missing, the stool falls over. If one's shorter, then the stool is imbalanced, then we need to work harder to stay on the stool. That last one can sometimes be the hardest of all. We can feel all kinds of guilt for taking time to ourselves. There's so much to be done. So many problems to solve. So much to be scared of. But here's a thought to encourage you. God loves you. God thinks you are worthy of loving. And not just in some kind of philosophical way, in a flesh and blood sacrificing everything for you kind of way. God matters. Your neighbours matter. You matter.
Loving God, we thank you, for you are a God of such abundance and gracious love. We lift before you a world deeply in need of love and care. We pray for the most vulnerable people around the world, for the people of Ukraine, Syria, Yemen, Ethiopia, Israel and Palestine, living under the shadow of war. We pray for peace for all those who have fled their home seeking sanctuary. We pray for protection and comfort. We bring before you all those living under the threat of debt, poverty, climate destruction and violence. We pray that they may experience justice within their lifetimes. We pray for all those in our own society, those without homes, people experiencing bereavement, people who are marginalised and discriminated against, and for everyone who feels as though they cannot cope. Bring comfort and rest where there is none, and guide them to sources of help. And finally, we pray for those closest to us. In the silence, we offer their names to you now. Lord of compassion and love, surround each person we have named with your grace and peace, and most of all, to know they are loved by you. We pray that you will surround us with your Holy Spirit, so we might carry your love and light out into the world. Help us to be healers, menders, guides and friends to all we meet. And remind us that you are with us every step of the way. And so we pray the words your Son, Jesus Christ, taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen.
As we close our time together and return to our daily rhythms, may we find ways of loving God with all our hearts and our minds and our souls. And then pay it forward to our friends and family and neighbours. So go. Go now with God's love sustaining you. God known to us as Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Today, tomorrow and every day.
Shine upon you and give